Jeff Lagerman jumping in for John Osier here on the Florida Blue Family Night scrimmage here on Jaguars.com. Glad you've joined us. J.P. Shadrick, that was John Osier, Jaguars.com senior writer. And we will be joined by Jaguars analyst Jeff Lagerman, who jumps off the radio broadcast and jumps aboard here with us on AP. Jaguars.com. Logs, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fantastic.
What have you seen so far? What do you like?
Well, I'm first and foremost, let me say this, seeing the stadium improvements and everything else, simply magnificent. Great turnout. I think this is probably the best turnout of any scrimmage that I have ever seen in Jacksonville Jaguars history. And it's been great for the fans to see all of these changes in the stadium. I love the club seats, how they've been redesigned, and also love that it's a little different color. You know, not that I'm a fashion guy, but I like the change of the color, and it makes it look more open and airy, you know, with the great colored seats, you know. This is a great night.
Before we get going here in the second half, U.S. soccer, World Cup soccer coming to Everbank Field. Clint Dempsey and the U.S. men's national team will host Trinidad and Tobago September 6th. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com. They'll be in this stadium. So to begin the second half, second team kickoff coverage is what you're truly watching here against the fourth kickoff return unit.
And hey, by the way, airing all this live on Jaguars.com, boy, does it really limit the amount of packages we're seeing.
Ficken with the kick out of the back of the end zone. They'll try to return anyway. Green with a little space. Green with more space. And Green's going to go all the way for what would be a touchdown.
Well, first of all, the ball would not have been returnable. And you never want to see the guy that's wearing the red pullover on his helmet score, okay? Because the red pullover means that he is the look team, okay? And then the other guys are the ones that are working on kickoff coverage. So you would like to have the guys without the caps stopping Rashad Green short.
Yes, you would.
But it's still positive in that you're seeing a guy like Rashad Green, yeah, who last year was the best punt returner in the National Football League, show that skill set once again as a returner, not even on punt return, but on kick return. That's a really strong thing to see.
All right, so here we go. Ones versus ones just outside of the red zone at the 24-yard line going in. And again, the offensive line tonight without a couple of contributors. Brandon Linder with a groin injury is out. Kelvin Beecham held out. He missed the last couple of days of practice with a little soreness in his knee, nothing unexpected. So Wells at left tackle. Shatley is the center, and Bortles is up underneath it. Play fake. Steps up, throws to the right side, in and out of the hands of Allen Hearns. Jalen Ramsey was there in coverage, but that's just a drop.
It's a flat drop, and Allen Hearns not having a great night. He had a hard time breaking away from coverage on Prince Amukamara in the first half right there. He drops what should have been a catchable ball. And a really nice job there by right tackle Jeremy Parnell of riding Dante Fowler out of the play and allowing Blake Bortles to step up. Fowler with a little bit of pressure there.
There were some notable videos this week from practice of Fowler putting Parnell on the ground in one-on-ones. This a handoff. Cuts back through the middle. There's a penalty flag.
Yeah, that's a holding call against the offense. You know, taking away the holding call, though, I like the movement that the right side of the line with A.J. Cann and Jeremy Parnell got there to where it allowed the running back, T.J. Yeldon, to not even have to really make a cut until he was down the field in the hold again. Dante Fowler showing up because that's who the hold was against. Dante Fowler right now is my player of the night.
So far, already.
Absolutely. I mean, what he has been able to show out here tonight with some of the plays he's made against the run, some of the pass rushes, plays like that where you have a holding call, it backs the offense up. He is a guy that's continuing to show what we've been seeing all week long. He is a special player. Now, I want to say this. We haven't seen him play a game yet. So, you know, I don't want to get ahead of the curve here. But from what we've seen in a week, gives you a lot of reason to be excited for him and his ability.
The officiating crew determined there was a hold, but it was also offside. So offsetting penalties, they'll do it again from the 24-yard line. Thomas and Lewis on the left side of the line tight. T.J. Yeldon and Jonathan Cyprian, the first man to make contact.
And Jonathan Cyprian needs to show everything that he can this year. James Sample has really started to come on the last couple days of training camp. Cyprian, they're saying that he's going to be more comfortable because he's now playing in the box as a strong safety, but that's right in the comfort range also with James Sample. That's going to be a great position battle to watch throughout the preseason.
A couple of changes. Mercedes Lewis has jogged off to the sideline. Robinson, Hearns, Green out to the left.
And look on the right side. That's a matchup issue right there. Julius Thomas against Jonathan Cyprian. Julius Thomas won that matchup earlier for a touchdown.
Bortles steps up. Throws. He's got Allen Robinson with another catch, this time over Aaron Colvin inside the five.
That's what you'd like to have for your quarterback. He lines up. And when he gets the ball, he says, okay, do I pick Julius Thomas against Jonathan Cyprian? Do I take A-Rob, Allen Robinson, against Aaron Colvin? You know, and both of them could have been wins if he puts it in the right place. And so a nice job executing by Blake Bortles. But either decision he made there would have been the right one.
First and goal at the 2-yard line. Ivory, the hammer in the backfield. Two wides left. Two tight ends on the line right. Back to throw. Looks right. Looks over the middle. Mercedes Lewis has a touchdown.
Nice big target for Blake Bortles. You know, he is in his 11th year, Mercedes Lewis. But, you know, he does not look like it whatsoever. He's one of these guys that's like a wine, that he gets better with age. And, you know, in the last couple of years, you know, Mercedes has had a hard time staying healthy, and it's very apparent that right now he's healthy. He's playing very well. He's blocking better than he has in the last couple of years, and being healthy has a lot to do with that. And he's such a big target. But, you know, we'd just like to see, though, that the consistency of catching for Mercedes, even in his 11th year, would get better for him.
The extra point quickly, the holder, Fickens. Extra point is good.
By the way, on the touchdown throw there, the guy that was coming, and Blake Bortles would have taken a hit in a real game situation there, although the hit would not have impacted the throw. Dante Fowler had beaten Josh Wells late and was putting on the brakes, so he didn't end up hitting his quarterback.
I cannot wait for Thursday night at MetLife Stadium when Dante Fowler is finally turned loose
for the first time
against a real opponent.
Well, against a real opponent and a football team, the New York Jets, that's got some questions at left tackle. DeBrickashaw Ferguson retires. They ended up acquiring Ryan Clady from the Denver Broncos, I believe. You know, and Ryan Clady's coming back from injury. What kind of a player is he going to be? Yep. You know, so it's, trust me, my eyes, you know, during the game is to broadcast the game on radio. But after the game, when you get the iPad or you watch game film, I'm going to be watching number 56 because he is a show in and of himself.
Twos versus twos, tight red zone. They're at the 12-yard line. First down, Henny. Ngakoue in his face. Jacobs, the tight end, unable to reel it in with Sample in coverage.
Another drop by the tight end. And I'm sure Ron Middleton, the tight end's coach, is not very happy right now. Nick Jacobs has a drop. Koyak had a drop. Yep. Neil Sterling has had a drop.
Absolutely.
You know, some of the wide receivers have had a drop. You know, the drop balls have to stop for this offense to gain a level of consistency to improve this year.
Second down and 10. Henny hands it off. Bernard Robinson, not much room to maneuver. Pollard is there to bring him down.
And Bernard Robinson is in a battle for a job.
Yeah.
Big battle for a job.
Definitely a bubble year for him. You probably keep four. We were talking to John earlier about this. Probably four running backs you keep it, right?
Well, you would think that it would be four. It could be five. But my thinking is that it's going to be four because you've got some depth at wide receiver that you'd like to keep. And you also have some depth at offensive line that you'd like to keep. And it's going to be a battle. I mean, Yeldon and Ivory are locks. And then once you get past that, the next two spots are going to be up for grabs between Denard Robinson, Corey Grant, and Jonas Gray. Now, the assumed battle for two spots, we're saying that if it's four.
Still very early. They'll move and clear out the backfield. Banyard to the top of the screen. Now, Henny looking to throw. Throws left. He's got Koyak inside the 10 down to the 7-yard line. And it's fourth down.
Yeah, not exactly the throw you'd like to make there. You know, if it's third and eight and, you know, the ball's on about the 10, 11-yard line, you'd like to have that third down throw be in the end zone somewhere. You know, but you got to remember something. You know, this is a scrimmage. This is not game conditions. You know, and so the amount of plays that's available to call is somewhat limited because of this Jaguars.com streaming thing here.
Ficken from 25.
I guarantee you Texans, the Colts, and the Titans are all watching or recording this streaming broadcast. Guarantee
so
you.
So are thousands of others.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I would be watching or recording their streaming broadcast of a scrimmage as well. The Green Bay Packers are probably watching this and recording it as well.
Well, you know what? They can record the preseason game one next week, if they want.
And I guarantee you they're listening intently to your play-by-play.
And
they're going, wow, that guy's good.
The analyst on this broadcast tonight.
I'd love to be an analyst with you anytime, JP.
So there you have it for the red zone situation. Kickoff return coming up again.
Yeah, and now you get to the red hats drill, you know, which the red hats drill special teams because of the mix of the offensive and the defensive players. And so this is this is for the kick return unit. So the red hats are on kickoff coverage. So in this instance, unlike we saw with Rashad Green carrying the ball all the way to the end zone, in this instance you'd like to see that as opposed to the coverage being better because this is a kick return specific drill. And you have Nick Marshall, the young man from Auburn, former quarterback, now a defensive back and a kick returner back deep.
13 kickoff returns a year ago for Marshall. And he's 3 yards deep. Far sideline across the 10 would have been brought down around the 15-yard line.
Yeah, and not a good job there by Nick Marshall. You've got a lead guy that's going to guide you to the area of the return, and that's the wide receiver, Aurelius Ben. And Aurelius Ben is telling Nick Marshall to stay in the end zone. And he defies that directive and returns it out anyway. And if that were live, he would have been tackled at the 10 or inside the 10, and that's not what you want.
Well, you balance that, though, because this is a return drill. You still want to get a rep in of returning, right? No matter how
you need to execute like you would in a game. In a game situation, you have to listen to that guy because if he's telling you to stay, you're not going to have him as a blocker out front because he's expecting you to stay in.
This is a goal line situation, ones versus ones. And at the last rules before the start of the game tonight, this should be a live situation. So you should see down to the ground. Alualu is the fullback. Ivory is the running back and has the handoff left. Cyprian is there first to bring him down. Scooter alongside.
Well, that's a really good job. A great job by the defensive front. There was absolutely nowhere for Ivory to find a lane to cut up. The only option that he had was to stretch it, and the speed of Scooter and Cyprian stopped him.
Second down. Play fake. Bortles rolling left, has room to run, and he trots into the corner of the end zone.
Nicely done. Nicely done, the old quarterback keeper. I was kind of hoping that it would be the fake run to where the lead back, which was Tyson Alualu back there, and he fakes a block and it goes into the flat to give the defensive lineman some love in the scrimmage and get him a touchdown.
Well, there are a couple of downs left to go here. Why not? Still the ones. Ivory up the middle. He's shy. He's down to the 1 yard line.
Well, and you got a puller coming from the backside, and that's left guard Luke Jokel is trying to pull around to lead Chris Ivory up into the hole. And there was some power over the center, Tyler Shatley, and locked Tyler Shatley back, and then Luke Jokel trips up over that penetration and can't lead Chris Ivory up into the hole. So a great job by the defense in the middle.
First got to make contact, Miles Jack, who's in goal line.
Yeah, and the more that training camp progresses and the preseason goes, the more wow factor we'll see out of Miles Jack. Right now, he's still learning a lot of the different things and responsibilities from the linebacking position.
Bortles, end zone, touchdown, Mercedes Lewis.
Nice job by Mercedes. It's just a basically he releases off the line of scrimmage and just finds an opening, turns around, and an absolute bullet by Blake Bortles. That's not an easy catch when you're that close to the quarterback and he's putting the pepper on it. Finds a little gap right between Dan Scuda, Miles Jack, and Jonathan Cyprian into that little hole, which for so many years early in Jaguars history, we saw Keenan McCardell excel in those situations.
Now twos versus twos in the goal line situation.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to watching this send Derek Marks. You know, this is where he's got to start to show some things and want to see some power out of send Derek Marks.
Henny hands off to Banyard. And he runs right into the pile and loses some yardage back to the 5-yard line.
But did you see who was the lead tackler there? Jalen Ramsey, the top pick of the Jaguars. And that's what I love about Jalen Ramsey. Big, long cover corner. But unlike Deion Sanders, who's also a Seminole, he is a very willing tackler. Will stick his nose in there and play defense, run defense all day.
Banyard. There's Jordan Tripp with the first contact. Tripped him up.
Jordan Tripp, Tripp with the trip. Now Jordan Tripp is going to be a leader for this football team on special teams. He's going to be a four-core guy. He also has the ability to be the backup long snapper, as we saw earlier in this scrimmage. Although he kind of had a hitch, it would have been a penalty with his snap as a long snapper, but a guy that the Jaguars like because he can play all three linebacking positions.
Seven special teams tackles a year ago. That led the Jaguars, Jordan Tripp. Play fake. Henny rolling right. Throws out of the back of the end zone. It was from the one, so they will do a two-point down here.
Now that was a nice job by the defense. Nick Jacobs, the tight end to the right side, was trying to release. Typically when you have a play like that, you have a shallow guy and a deep guy when the quarterback rolls out. Nick Jacobs could never get out into the route because the defensive players disrupted him and actually knocked him back behind the line of scrimmage.
So a two-point try to wrap up this goal line session. They'll empty the backfield, four wide receivers and a tight end. Now Denard Robinson back beside Henny and takes the handoff and plunges into the end zone for two.
Well, that's nice there by Denard of just kind of finding just one little opening amongst all those big guys and just kind of squeezing underneath of everything and getting that ball across the goal line. That's a good drill now. I mean, when you go goal line, the only way to truly practice goal line, much like special teams, is by going live. And you don't want to go live on special teams in a scrimmage because the speed of the impact is so much greater. The risk of injury is so much greater. But goal line and short yardage is the perfect situation to go live in a scrimmage situation.
So this is the second punt unit in a very deep punt return group here. Josh Johnson is back with the red hat on. The punter is Ryan Quigley, who spent the last 3 years with the New York Jets. High, wobbly punt, and down at the 25-yard line. Johnson might have been hit right away. Spins off to the right and finds a little room after anyway.
Now, that was a nice punt. That was a very nice punt by Ryan Quigley. High, hanging, turned the ball over. When the returner catches the ball, the coverage is within about 5 yards, and that's about optimal for a punt type of coverage. So it always starts with the punter. Well, let me correct that. It starts with the snap.
Uh-huh.
And then it's on the punter to allow the coverage team to be able to have enough time to get down there and close the window, so to speak, on the returner, and that was a good punt.
Jaguars and Buccaneers are holding joint practices Tuesday, August 17th, Wednesday, August 18th on the practice fields adjacent to Everbank Field. Registration info coming soon. Stay tuned to Jaguars.com over the next few days for more information.
Yeah, looking forward to that. You know, Dirk Cutter was here as a coach for a long time. Jameis Winston, Mike Smith, the former Jaguars defensive coordinator, head coach of the Falcons. A lot of the staff in Tampa has coached here in Jacksonville.
Bortles on first down. That's complete. Alan Hearns with a catch. This scenario, 109 left in the game, starting from their own 20. One timeout, down by one. So 9 yards on first down, the clock moving. Bortles looks left, throws that way. He has Allen Robinson, pass to Mukamura.
And not a great job there by Mukamura in a two-minute situation. Keep everybody inbounds, make the tackle, force them to use the timeout. He allows Allen Robinson to make the catch and to get out of bounds.
First and 10. Looking left again. Through behind Robinson, Mukamura was right there. This is just a misfire by Bortles, I believe.
Yeah, and a misread. You know, he throws the back shoulder, whereas Allen Robinson had the step kind of past to Mukamura, so the throw would have been down the field. You know, sometimes quarterback, wide receiver, this is why you work out the kinks in training camp.
So 40 seconds to go. The Jags offense at their own 36-yard line. Second down and 10. Hearns to the top of the screen. And back to throw, Bortles. Pumps, has to flush left. Backpedaling towards the sideline. Last moment found Yeldon, but it's incomplete.
And, you know, he should have found Yeldon a little bit sooner. The pocket collapses on him. He tries to buy some time, you know, but in a two-minute situation, you really don't want to extend the play too much. You know, just throw it away.
You lost 8 seconds on that incompletion.
You just lose so much time by trying to extend the play if you're not going to try to throw the ball way down the field.
So 32 seconds to go. Third down and 10 at the 36-yard line. Low snap. Bortles handles it clean. Some pressure up the middle, finds Yeldon, dumps it down. Telvin Smith is there to bring him down in bounds.
That would have been it right there. I mean, that would be should be fourth down and two-minute situation. Telvin Smith would have tackled Yeldon in bounds. The clock would have kept running. They would have had to use their timeout offensively, their last remaining timeout, forcing what is now fourth down and 8.
And that is the scenario. So 19 seconds to go. We'll see if they play this fourth down out. I believe they will.
Sure they will. Absolutely. You know, a lot of things can happen with one play. Look at the Heidi game.
That's true. But nobody saw that, though.
No, nobody did see that. That is very true. Now, I will say some really nice push in the pocket there with Odric, Malik Jackson, and Ngakoue, and Dante Fowler, making Blake Bortles very uncomfortable, moving him off the spot. Not getting a sack, but moving him off the spot on this two-minute drill.
Got Ngakoue and Fowler on the field together. It's fourth down and 8. Telvin Smith got free. Throw over the middle is nearly intercepted.
Whoa. Really nice job. Telvin Smith would have had the sack in the backfield, but obviously he stays away from Blake Bortles. Then the ball is tipped up in the air because Allen Robinson is diving for it with Mukamura on the play. And then Tashawn Gibson almost gets an interception. And I think you're going to see him make that play more times than not in the regular season. He's got excellent ball skills as a free safety.
14 career interceptions, a Pro Bowler in 2014, and a guy who was an undrafted free agent out of Wyoming, worked his way up in Cleveland, kept getting better and better.
Until he got Mike Pettine as his head coach.
And now they will do a field goal no matter the situation here. Here's Fickett from 53.
Drills it.
Perfect.
I made the comment on our radio broadcast when Jason Myers missed the long one and then his extra point before that. barely squeezed in within the upright in the south end zone. That Jason Myers, he heard a little smattering of boos. I don't know if you heard that on the long field goal that Jason Myers had. That, you know, the fan base probably has a very short amount of patience with Jason Myers with his struggles with PATs. And I made the statement that Jason Myers should not feel very comfortable because Sam Ficken, who they signed as the 90th guy going into training camp, has been very consistent throughout training camp. Very consistent.
I don't know if he's missed a kick in live action.
Well, and he's got a very, very strong leg.
Officially a first-year player out of Penn State. Now it's twos versus twos. Same scenario, 109 to go from their own 20. Chad Henney finds Aurelius Ben on first down. That's a gain of 8. Clock moving, under a minute.
Really has been 220-pound wide receiver, and most of it's from the waist down.
Henney looks right. Throws right. Batted in the air, knocked away by Grotz, looking for Walters.
That's a really nice play by Dwayne Grotz, but that's a defensive holding call, and I believe that might have been against DMAC, Demetrius McCray. That's the side of the field that it was thrown on. I'm not positive of that, but it was in his area. Full crew, or not a full crew, but we have a NFL officials here, and I'm sure you and John talked about it.
We had an
NFL officials meeting prior to the scrimmage here, and they were excellent explaining some of the rule changes and also points of emphasis to us for the year.
Terrence Miles leading the way there.
And he did a great job leading the way.
Henney, Corey Grant on the outside across the 40. And they'll blow it dead at the 43, 44, somewhere in there.
Now, Corey Grant's like Forrest Gump. You know, he just wants to run. You know, run, Corey, run.
I mean, Corey did start at Alabama and then transferred to Auburn.
Wow,
so close.
Boy, does he have speed.
Henney, far side, up in the air, and caught but out of bounds.
Well, that's a heck of a catch, and I want to say this now, heck of a catch, but also excellent coverage there by Nick Marshall.
And Tony Washington, the receiver.
Tony Washington.
Yeah, it looked like he slid that first foot on the line. And
boy, looking at it now, boy, that's one. That's a heck of a job just making the catch and then having some awareness to try to get the feet down, but just wasn't going to be able to do it.
Third down, and they'll call it 12 with 33 seconds to go. Henney, far side, has a man. It is caught. Walters, inbounds, clock moving. That's at the 45-yard line.
Brian Walters just catches everything. That was on the back shoulder, and he still makes the catch.
Henney will clock it with 21 seconds remaining.
Look at this catch, folks. Back shoulder, basically one hand, traps it against the side of his helmet and pulls it in. Before Dwayne Grotz can get his hand even involved. That's why Brian Walters is kind of the opposite of a Marquise Lee. You know, Brian Walters, dependable, will make the catch, available for the most part every week, whereas Marquise Lee, you know, can't quite depend on him yet, but he's got a super high level of ability, so you're having some patience. But, you know, Brian Walters, quarterbacks love a guy like Brian Walters.
Walters targeted 42 times a year ago, caught 32 of those. That's incomplete over the middle, looking for Washington. Marshall's there again.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, at one point last year, Brian Walters was one of the top players in the National Football League at catch percentage. You know, so as a quarterback, you know, you want guys that are going to be where they're supposed to be, and then when you throw it to them, they're going to make the catch like they're supposed to do, and Brian Walters is that type.
So third down and 10 officially, 16 seconds to go here. Henney over the middle. Bailey with the catch. Rasheed Bailey, first-year player out of Delaware Valley. And a timeout call.
A nice throw there by Chad Henney.
3 seconds to go, Jeff.
3 seconds to go. What's the situation again?
They were down one. With one timeout. They just
used
the timeout.
Now you're going to send the field goal unit out. Ficken is going to be the kicker And the holder will be Ryan Quigley. So you have the backup punter, the backup kicker here. And this is a pressure situation. If this were real game conditions, Ficken could make a statement here once again.
From 47 yards away for the win. Ficken's kick is up, has the distance. It's good.
Making a statement for himself. Making a statement for himself. Nice job by there, the second team offense, executing the two-minute drill, marching it down the field with 3 seconds left, sending the field goal unit out there, and which in a real game, that would have been the game winner. And this team has got to be able to do that this year. To stack some wins together. Winning games when it comes down to two-minute drills. More games are determined in two-minute drills than you can imagine.
Because the starting Jaguars offense in two-minute situations a year ago was pretty good.
Yeah, they were really good.
They could move the ball.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's where a lot of Blake's touchdowns came. Yeah. It was, you know, that fourth quarter you're behind.
Yeah.
You like to
get some of those before halftime too. Now,
oh yeah, in 2 minute drills.
Yeah. This a punt return situation. Standing back at his own 32-yard line, Brian Walters looks up into the Florida night sky, makes the catch at about the 36-yard line, and no room to run.
Quigley there with the punt doesn't quite get the ball turned over, and now. I believe it's going to be number 3 offense versus number 3 defense. Is that right?
That's correct. Just okay. Move the ball here.
But, you know, they're and I want to make this point here, is that even though you're the number 3 defense, number 3 offense, there are some positions that you just don't have 3 deep and 3 available. So some guys are still going to continue to play. Luke Jokel, who has worked at guard for the most part, is now going to move to left tackle. And then Josh Wells, who was playing left tackle earlier in the scrimmage, now goes to left guard. Tyler Shatley in at center. He's getting plenty of work with the injury to Brandon Linder.
The quarterback is Brandon Allen, draft pick out of Arkansas. Allen looks right, throws that direction, incomplete, dropped at about the 43-yard line. Allen was a guy that they had at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. They liked his personality. He's a coach's son. They liked what he did his last year in Fayetteville.
Yeah, well, you know, he's looked okay in practice, you know, but when you compare him to Chad Henne and Blake Bortles, he's still way behind the curve. But watching his college film, anticipates things, very quick release, stays out of trouble, moves the chains, you know, productive player at Arkansas.
Corey Grant. Around the right end, had a little room to run. Porter would have been the first man there, but they don't blow it dead.
Run for
it. Corey Grant is all the way into the end zone for a touchdown.
He's got great speed. He's got great speed. I'd like to see the replay of that to see if, in fact, somebody could have tackled him. Looking at it now, right there. Yeah,
there's one.
That would have been one right there by the linebacker. Sean Porter taps him on the hips.
You know, Corey Grant at his pro day, a reported 4.25 and 4.27 40.
That's pretty fast.
Yeah, that's really fast.
You know, slightly faster than what I ran back in the day.
Oh, really? Just slightly.
Yeah, just slightly.
We'll try it again from the 39-yard line.
Good matchup here. Jokel, Tyrone Holmes, the draft pick from Montana.
Jokel beats him. Throw over the middle. That's caught.
There he is.
There's Bowman, the rookie tight end out of South Alabama, on the move with a nice catch over the middle.
And he's making the coaches pay attention to his skills. We're talking about Bowman, the undrafted rookie tight end from South Alabama. You know, not only has he made some really nice contested catches in practice where he's had guys draped over him or tight coverage on him, but he's shown that he's a willing blocker, and he also is not just willing, he's fairly effective. He's got some dog in him. Neil Sterling, who many people thought would be a great move tight end, is probably behind him, in my mind, on the depth chart.
Allen looking left. A little pressure from behind from Werner, so he has to tuck it and run. That's not the ideal situation.
Well, and that's not pressure. That would have been a sack. Okay, Luke Jokel was blocking Bjorn Werner, the former first-round pick out of Florida State, drafted by the Indianapolis Colts. Basically got released because he wasn't good enough to play for the Indianapolis Colts, and it's not a very strong statement. To be honest with you, Bjorn Werner has not looked very good camp, and that doesn't reflect well on Luke Jokel that he gives up a sack to Werner. That's why Luke has been working a lot at left guard.
Max Wittick is now in at quarterback out of Hawaii, a rookie free agent. He'll hand it off. Corey Grant is bottled up in the backfield.
And in a real game situation, that would have been more than bottled up. That was the linebacker that has the shortest, thickest neck maybe that I have ever seen, and that's Hayes Pillard III there. And you can see there on the shot that they had of him. His head and neck, there's no curve to it. It goes straight down to shoulders and traps that are elevated very high. You take a picture of him, he looks like a middle linebacker, right?
Wittick to the end zone, batted away.
Brian That's, Body Calhoun.
Yeah, the rookie out of Minnesota, 5'11", 190-pounder. Nice play.
Yeah, nice coverage, and he was working against the wide receiver that I've become a big fan of. That's Jamal Robinson, the undrafted rookie wide receiver from Louisiana Lafayette. And kind of surprised that Jamal Robinson at 6'4", 207, 210, didn't high point that ball, which means plant your feet and elevate because, at 6'4", you're against a corner who's 5'11". Use your height to your advantage and almost treat it like a rebound.
First and 10 at the 35-yard line. Wittick hands it off. Grant Bartu is there to put him on his backside.
I'm kind of surprised that Jamal Robinson didn't high point it because, that's what we've seen out of Robinson in camp. He's made some really nice catches to where he's been able to elevate and use his height to his advantage.
Pick your five receivers right now, Jeff, or six.
Five? Well,
still five.
The A-team, Robinson and Hearns are given. Rashad Green, number three. Brian Walters, number four. Marquise Lee, number five. Provided Marquise Lee starts to show some things and has some consistent participation in games and in practice.
Could they keep six?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, if you're going to be a running team like they've talked about, all offseason, with the addition of Chris Ivory, the tight ends that you have,
I just
can't imagine them keeping six. Now, if you're going to be a passing team, sure, you keep six. But that's not what they want to do on offense.
Linkenbach is in at left tackle. Looks like Can at left guard. Will likely be the starting right guard this year. Back to throw Wittick. Little time. Finds a man. Complete. There's Robinson.
And for A.J. Can playing left guard, it's like putting on an old set of shoes. 51 starts at South Carolina at left guard for A.J. Can. That's not very hard for him to make that transition from right guard back to left guard for him.
Not at all. That'll do it for the play-by-play coverage of tonight's Florida Blue Family Night scrimmage with Nickelodeon, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman. Glad you're with us tonight. A few things stand out. Dante Fowler's one of those tonight. What'd you like from the rookie this evening?
He's a second-year player, but he spent the first year on IR. So, to me, he's still a rookie. He's just such a great athlete. He's got a great motor. He's got quickness and instincts that you just typically don't see. He is going to be a fun player to watch throughout the season. And I hope he stays healthy, because he's still coming back from an ACL. But would you know it?
No, not at all.
I mean, you wouldn't know it at all that he ever had an ACL injury.
The last game he played, competitive game, January 3rd, 2015. So next Thursday night, get ready for Dante Fowler. Offensively, A couple things. Allen Robinson has continued his great camp with another big night tonight. A couple of great catches for A-Rob.
Still Allen Robinson, right? And maybe a step up about, you know, the consistently level that he's had has been tremendous. I like Julius Thomas getting involved, catching a touchdown today in a matchup with Cyprian. That was a nice to see. You know, the more weapons that Blake Bortles can get involved in the offense, the tougher it is for defenses to stop. Allen Hurns didn't show as much tonight, but has been very consistent throughout training camp. I don't expect that to be something that lasts for very long. Rashad Green did some nice things tonight.
Yep.
You know, the more weapons that they can get on offense. But, you know, the one thing, though, that you really want to see to start to emerge when you get to games is the consistency of the run game to where they can really enforce their will in running the football, because that takes a lot of pressure off of the offensive line and pass protection and also the quarterback, and get Blake to cut down on the interception.
Well, that's something you have to see in a real game. It's hard to see in a scrimmage, in a practice, and on the practice field. You got to get under the lights. Not even against the Jets, but closer to the regular season to see that.
Yeah, and you're going to have some great evaluation. You know, this roster, I know that earlier in the day our radio crew talked with Peter King, and Peter King had a pretty strong statement to say, and he said, look, he said, this might be the most changed team that I've seen in years. And what he's talking about is the level of talent that this football team has. You know, we see it. You know, so we're very aware of that, but to have a guy to come in and to kind of compare his viewpoint of other teams around the National Football League and make a direct statement like that about this football team, that's pretty encouraging, and it's very true.
Jeff, final thought, what's left to see before Thursday night against the Jets?
Well, you'd like to see the guys get healthy, Brandon Leonard, Kelvin Beachum, to get some consistency all on the offensive line. You're hoping that Marquise Lee returns this weekend or the first part of next week. And then after that, it's time to start turning the lights up a little bit, and let's see some game action, because that's where the real true evaluation begins, is in the preseason games. That's how you evaluate players on a roster.
Jeffrey, well done. We'll have a great week of practice and get ready for the Jets Thursday night in New York. We're
looking forward to it.
Jeff Lagerman, our thanks to John Osier, our entire Jaguars.com crew as well, and thanks to you for watching tonight. I'm JP Shadrick. That'll do it for the Florida Blue Family Night Scrimmage from Everbank Field.